Next Tuesday, fans of Charles Dickens will celebrate the 200th anniversary of his birth and the characters he created. Oliver Twist, Scrooge, Tiny Tim, characters that brought to life the hardships of the working poor during England's Industrial Revolution. Dickens became so famous that he was greeted like a rock star during his first visit to the U.S. in 1842. On this day, February 3rd, the 29-year-old paid a visit to the famous mills of Lowell, Massachusetts, north of Boston. These were considered model factories where mainly female workers known as the Lowell Mill Girls mobbed Dickens, and he wrote about them.
These girls were all well-dressed, and that phrase necessarily includes extreme cleanliness. They had serviceable bonnets, good warm cloaks, and shawls. They were healthy in appearance, many of them remarkably so, and had the manners and deportment of young women, not of degraded brutes of burden.
The words of Charles Dickens observing an American mill and, of course, comparing it to the deplorable conditions of industrial England. And our next guest says that visit transformed Dickens. Diana Archibald is a Dickens expert. She's the co-curator and lead scholar of an exhibition about Dickens at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. She's an associate professor of English there. Diana, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And let's underscore this again, because we know, everyone in New England knows that some of the mill girls, they worked in terribly dangerous situations. Their hair and their fingers and their dresses could get caught in machinery. They were sometimes quite young. But he was comparing it to the things that we heard about in works like Oliver Twist.
Yeah, even worse than that. In fact, in the 1840s, there were, I think, something close to 80,000 people living in Manchester in England in cellar apartments with raw sewage seeping through the walls. So you talk about that sort of living condition, and then you go up to Lowell, where there's these nice boarding houses that were made and fresh young girls coming from the countryside to work for a couple of years in the factories and go home. And of course, we have to remember that Dickens, when he came, was 29 years old, and he liked the girls, and they were educated, they were articulate, they had the Lowell Offering, a wonderful literary magazine, they knew how to play the piano, and the contrast, again, for him with the working population of England was so great,
sure.
And so that is what really stood out for him.
And maybe he saw something else in them, because some spirit or something, because we know that years after his visit, they would strike against, a proposed cut in wages. These girls work from 5 in the morning till 7 at night for about 73 hours every week, you know. And their strike paved the way for the modern labor movement. So maybe he also saw something else in them.
If he did see that, he would have been pretty displeased, because he wasn't exactly a fan of unions. He felt that there should be other ways of solving these problems, that people in charge of the mills ought to exhibit humanity, and that society ought to exemplify that as well. And so he thought the mill system was great, and I think if he realized how much unrest there already was, that it would have been a different tale.
Isn't that interesting? You know, Charles Dickens, we think of him as the defender of the downtrodden worker, but only to a certain degree.
Well, he was. He just was, you have to remember, too, this is 1842, and it wasn't that long before that where there were riots and revolutions.
Fascinating. And you say he was changed, or at least altered somewhat, by that visit to the Lowell Mills. How so?
Well, he writes when he returns, and he's in the midst of his next novel, Martin Chuzzlewit. He writes to a friend that he'd never felt so strong, that he'd never felt such power in his writing as before that time. And many critics talk about the difference in his writing. There's a sense of confidence. There's also a sense of complexity. It's as if coming abroad gave him a different view of the complexity of social problems, but also a sense of hope that these problems could be solved, and a voraciousness of appetite for going after the hypocrisy, the greed that were underlying social oppression.
He was treated like a rock star when he came here, and he left feeling like, I have to do something with this.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yes. And to his credit, he always seemed to try to use that power to effect change and to help the lives of those more unfortunate.
Talk a little bit more about his place in history. You know, you can sort of think like, oh, yeah, Dickens, he was part of a line of authors. Well, no, he sort of was the beginning of a line of literary superstars.
He is absolutely the first celebrity in the new age of mass media. He came and the paparazzi were hounding him and the public were following everywhere, plucking bits of his bearskin coat. He was a literary superstar. And, you know, the Sykes and Nancy scene.
Bill Sykes.
Oh, my gosh.
And Oliver Twist.
Dickens wanted to be an actor, in fact. When he was little, his father would put him and his sister on a table in the pub, and they'd do a little song and a dance. And he had a great sense of what would produce an effect in the audience. And when he was composing his novels, in fact, he would stand up and rush to the mirror, practice the face and the voice, and then he would run back to the table and write it out. So he was very much conscious of the theatricality of his works.
Nancy, of course, is the woman who helps shepherd the orphans who work for Bill Sykes, who's the bad guy.
Yeah, Nancy's the prostitute.
She sings As Long As He Needs Me. Oh, wait, that's in the musical.
Yeah, very different.
But he murders her.
Yes, he does. He bludgeons her to death. And it's a horrific scene, and Dickens really played it up.
People would faint.
Well, some say those readings killed him. He was only 58 when he died. And he worked himself to death. And his doctor said, you ought not to do any more readings, and you certainly ought not to do Sykes and Nancy.
Wow. We are going to be hearing things you never heard before about Charles Dickens in the next couple of days, because we are coming up on the Dickens Bicentenary. It'll be marked by exhibits, performances of his work, a Twitter book club organized by the Museum of London. And you're a Dickens scholar. You are seeing Dickens get his due.
Yes, absolutely. I think that people think of Dickens as that old guy with a beard that's not relevant, and he is relevant. In fact, I think of him as sort of like John Stewart. He's a satirist. He looks at the hypocrisy, the cruelty, the greed, and he uses his wit as a weapon to effect change.
Diana Archibald, the co-curator and lead scholar of the Bicentenary Exhibition on Charles Dickens at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, an associate professor of English at UMass Lowell. We'll have all the information at hereandnow.org and whatever we can get in there about events around the world. Diana, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.